All right, before I forget, at the end of the sermon, because I'm going to forget, and it's in my head right now, here's how we're trying to really do this family thing, worship with our kids, make them a part of the worship service. That's why they stay in here with us in the beginning. At the end of the service, when I'm done, and we'll see how long I go today, we'll may try and do a little like Q&A and praying for each other at the end. When we hit that point, or we hit done and go into communion, parents, go get your kids, bring them back, let them worship with us here at the end, all right? All right, so where are we going? Where have we been doing this summer? We've been focusing on our core values that drive us as City Light Church. We want to be a church that revels in God's act of reaching down and coming, Jesus Christ coming to earth to save us. And then we want to respond to that good news. We want to respond to the gospel by reaching up, in, and out. And so last week, Tyler preached on up. The gospel comes down and we respond by reaching up as worshipers, by being transformed into a new people. And so if you haven't heard that sermon, it's actually up on, we have a podcast now. We have a City Light Benson app. So right now you can get on, you can download that app, go back, listen to that sermon this week. It was a fantastic message, a really good word for us as a community, just talking about our hearts and how they need to be formed and how we need to just not talk about Jesus, but we actually need to become a people who is like Jesus. And so I just got mad props, brownie points with Tyler, because I both complimented his sermon and mentioned the app at the same time. And that's why I want you to know, thank God for Tyler. Like, he's the cool pastor that understands technology and stuff. I don't even know how to spell app. And so he kills it in that area. I'm thankful for that. Today, we're going to talk about in. We're going to talk about how the gospel forms us into a new community. We're a set-apart people. And the big idea, the thing that I hope that we'll just get this morning, and that I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you as an individual this morning and to us as a community, that he's going to give you a word of encouragement for you today. And so I want you to listen expectantly. So I feel like God's got something for you, because I really believe that the way we live as a community of God in Benson, it's going to have a direct impact, a direct correlation to whether the people of Benson will become worshipers of God. It's somehow connected. Somehow, strangely, weirdly, God chooses to use us. And so the way that we journey together, the way that we love each other, is going to have direct results in what God does here in Benson. And so here's what we're going to talk about: the plan for the Christian community, the practice of Christian community, the problem with Christian community, and then the solution of Christian community. Sorry, I couldn't come up with a P. So you got a P for the S word, help me out. All right, plan for Christian community. God's plan is for his people was always that we would join him in extending the light. That we as God's people would see darkness push back, that we would see the kingdom of God restored. And something I'll often do as we journey together as a community when I'm preaching is kind of try and take us and just ground us into the story of God. I always want us to know when we're opening up God's word, where it fits in into the Bible, and then where we fit in, where our story fits in into this grand narrative that God is working. So I just want to do a quick flyover and just think through this idea of community throughout Scripture. So we see initially, as we open up the book of Genesis, that God, this triune God, this perfect creator, has community within himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That he doesn't need anything outside of himself, that he's completely self-sufficient. And the love and creativity and serving and everything fits within the Trinity. They're doing it for each other. Like, God is perfect and triune, and community existed there. And then he chooses to create man as an overflow, as a desire to just express how good and how great and how glorious he is. And so what do we see? We see Adam and Eve formed in the image of God, journeying in this perfect paradise of a garden in perfect relationship with God. See, community was there from the get-go. Relationship was central from the get-go. But as we continue to turn the pages, we see what happens. Sin enters in. Man rebels. He desires to be God rather than serve and to worship God. And so the fall happens. The creation is marred and broken. God's kingdom, his rule and reign, it does not exist perfectly anymore. We continue to turn the pages. We see Cain kills Abel, that there's hate enters into the human heart, that community is broken, that the very family, the familial relationship, brothers, what should be a picture of one of the greatest, most healthy relationships on earth, is broken and ends in murder. But we see that God is faithful to his creation. God calls out Abraham and he says, Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation, into a people. And he says, you're going to be a blessing, or I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And so right away we start to see this idea that God is forming a people for himself, and that people is supposed to be a blessing to the nations around. They're supposed to start to restore the effects of the fall. They're supposed to push back darkness and see light come. Now, we know the story gets kind of disappointing there for a while. God's people, Israel, just kind of goes through this cycle of repentance, following God for a while. They experience blessing. God's using them. Then they're idiots, kind of like us. They fall away, and curses come, and eventually God has to send judgment, and he exiles his people. But even there, we continue to see God faithfully calling his people. He says through the prophet Jeremiah, love the city that you're in. Seek the welfare of the city. Press back darkness. And then soon, we get to the New Testament. And finally, we see Jesus come in. That God says, I got this. That Jesus incarnates. He leaves glory. He comes down as a man. Again, seeking community. He chooses 12 of the most ridiculous, washed up fishermen, bums, tax collectors, messy, dirty people. And he says, I'm going to form you into a people. And on this people, I'm going to establish my church. And we see this movement go forward that takes us into the age that we find ourselves in today, the age of the church. And it ends with this incredible wedding celebration where Jesus marries his bride, the church, that man is restored into right relationship with God in full. Isn't it awesome? Don't you just get excited focusing and thinking about this story? I think weddings are such a great picture of this, of a community. I had such a great time last week as at Andrew and Bailey's wedding. And I got to tell you, my favorite part was during the ceremony when both sets of parents came up and they prayed over their son and daughter as they established this new covenant before God. And I thought, man, that's it. Two Christian families coming together, praying their kids into a Christian marriage. What a beautiful picture of the family of God at work. Last time I preached, I started with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And I wanted to go there again quick this morning. It's where we get this language that a people for God's own possession, and that we would proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. See, this is where we get this idea that we're supposed to join God in pushing back the darkness. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people. And I wanted to go on this morning and read verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. This is what Tyler talked about last week. This is the idea that we actually need to become like Jesus. We need to be a holy people, a people that's set apart. And verse 12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. See, how we live as God's people will matter in eternity. Man, that's awesome. That should just excite us. Like, what we do now matters. How we live now matters. It matters for people's souls. CLBs, here's the deal. If we love God and we love Benson, some good things are going to happen. Some good things are about to happen. Amen? Listen to this quote from Leslie Newbigin, a missiologist. He wrote the book Gospel in a Pluralist Society. He says this: I have come to feel that the primary reality of which we have to take account in seeking for a Christian impact on public life is a Christian congregation. How is it possible that the gospel should be credible? That people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? I am suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic or explanation of the gospel is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. Would we be those people? We all love this picture of the early church in Acts, right? In Acts chapter 2, they're devoted to the word. They have all things in common. They're gathering. They're worshiping Jesus. It says, day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Isn't this what we long for? That God would so choose to use us to see more people come to himself. And I think, though, that sometimes we think this is unattainable. We're like, oh, that's the early church. I mean, they had some heavy hitters. You know, Paul, Peter, some real deal. I'm like, no, guys, like, this is for us today. Like, if we're holy, if we're set apart, God is going to work now to continue to make a people for himself. This is what we're going to continue to be talking about this summer. We're going to get real practical. Tyler's going to preach next week on renewal, what happens when how's the gospel bringing renewal within culture. I'm really looking forward to that one. But today, I want us to focus on this idea of community. How do we do it? How do we do it well? And so I want to talk next about the practice of community. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 say this: a new commandment I give together, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, there's close to like 60 of these one another commands or exhortations in the New Testament. There's about a third of them that have to do with love one another. Another third have to do with just the unity of the body of Christ. 15% or so have to do with being humble. And then various other commands, but there's these one another's. And I want to encourage us as a community just to be thinking about and meditating on these one another statements. And I got to say, see, like, can I just, you know, celebrate a little bit, brag on you guys a little bit? As a church, I think we're doing okay. Like, I think we love each other well. I think City Lights has an incredible culture of welcome and love and hospitality. I don't know if it's the donuts or what it is, but it's the reason why I'm here. Like, because I got welcomed in and loved by you, and I'm so thankful now to just have the privilege of serving you as pastor. And so I want to say, let's continue to do this well. I just heard this morning that, like, Booker's got, like, a hot tub ministry. Now, that sounds shady to me. Like, eventually that's going to end up under church discipline. But right now, there's a bunch of dudes sitting in a hot tub at 24-Hour Fitness just having gospel conversations. And so if you happen to get in the hot tub at that time, sorry, sucker, you're going to hear about the grace and love of Jesus. And so they're seeing all this stuff happening. And that's just like, that's the kind of crazy stupid that is City Light. Right? That's us. It's just, we're just going to be out there. We're going to be real. And we're going to love people. And so I just want us, can I just challenge us for a little bit here to just continue to go deeper into that, to just dream a little bit? I'm just going to go through some one another's here. And as I do this, I want you to just be in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit, what's he got for you? I think he has something for us as individuals this morning and corporately where there's some area that he wants us to drill in. Because what if we really sought to be at peace with one another? What if we pursued harmony over our own interests as a community? If we were willing to serve each other in a radical, sacrificial way, like Jesus coming and washing his disciples' feet, what if we loved one another? Would the kingdom of God break in here? How about if we were devoted to each other? I mean, like, really devoted. Actually allowed the gospel to form us into a family. Actually gave ourselves to each other. Do you think relationships would grow deep and become strong if we did that? If we weren't so reserved, if we didn't hold back and say, well, I'm going to see. What if we just went all in? What if we were a community that accepts each other? Says, yeah, you're a hot mess, but I love you anyways. And I'm a hot mess. And we are honest and we are humble. We didn't jump to judge and condemn each other. What would happen? What kind of church would we be in the city of Benson? What if we honored and encouraged each other? What if we started greeting each other with a holy kiss? Wait, what? Sorry. Let me give the Greek for that in the 21st century. It's called an evangelical side hug. That's how we roll. All right? So the same thing. That's how it transfers over. Ladies, if you got guys coming up to you in the next week saying, I've been really meditating on the one another's, all right, call your pastors. We got some problems. But seriously, what if we were a church that did the one another's? What if we had concern for each other? I mean, actual concern. What if when others were grieving, we were able to grieve? When others were celebrating, we were actually able to celebrate. Rather than just having covetous and idolatrous hearts that just say, why not me? How come I can't ever get a break? If we were kind and compassionate, if we carried each other's burdens, if we were forgiving, if we were humble, if we were honest, you think maybe the Holy Spirit would just drop down and bring revival? See, there's blessing when the church obeys. Let's obey. Let's live out these one another's. Do you think if we were faithful to teach, to admonish, to exhort each other with the scriptures, like actually spoke in, actually opened up our Bibles and became a people of the Word, do you think God would work in power through us? Let's challenge each other and compete in love. The scripture, it says spur each other on. Like, let's get after it. Let's do this. My notes tell me to smile here. And there's a note that says the football coach is probably coming out. So I apologize. Why is that guy so angry all the time? Goodness, I just wanted to be encouraged this morning. Let's pray for one another. Pray for me, all right? Let's confess our sins to one another. Let's build each other up. Let's root and cheer for one another. Let's love one another. Do you see it, City Light? Do you see it, Benson? We can push back darkness. We can see the light come in our own lives, in each other's lives, in our community here, and that's bound to spill out. If we can be a church that truly loves one another, the kingdom will come. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem with Christian community. And it's the Christians. Right? I mean, it's you and it's me. How many times have you heard it said, man, I like that Jesus guy. It's his people that I have a problem with. I mean, I say this all the time. I love being a pastor, except for you guys. Right? I mean, I'm joking, but not really. See, as I go through all these one another's, I become so aware of my complete inability to achieve them. I mean, I could be patient and gentle with my kids, but I'd just rather get them to bed so I can watch Netflix. I could press in when one of my friends says something stupid, and I could try to actually enter and exhort, to challenge, to love well, but it's so awkward. I'd rather just keep the peace and move on. There's so many ways that I fail every week to do this, to live this out. And then there's all the ways that people have failed me. I mean, I've just been through some stuff. And the church and people have let me down. They haven't loved me well. And then I get disappointed with Jesus and his bride. Right? No, what? No amens on that? Amen? Someone resonate with that? That's what I thought. And then that's just in-house, right? Then there's the city. Then there's my friends. There's the people that I know who just feel hurt by the church. They all have this baggage, this story of how God's people just scarred them. And they give it as their reason for why they won't consider Jesus. It's where I pull my hair out. I just look up at God and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I get it. Like, you got this plan, but it's a bad one. Right? I mean, like, you just stink. Like, this guy over here, that's a terrible draft pick. Like, that's who you're going to take to try and push back darkness? Right? I'm like, if you were an NFL coach, you'd get fired yesterday. Seriously. And so we're aware of this. We have all these reasons. Let's be honest for a second, right? We have all these reasons where we're kind of tentative when we think about church planting. When we think about being the community that could be the kind of community to really love Benson well. Because we have our own hurt. We have our baggage. And so we kind of just dip our toe in the water, right? Listen to this quote. It's kind of a long quote. I'll post it up on Community Builder this week. It's from one of my favorite writers and thinkers, pastor and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This dude's a real deal. Gave his life because of his faith in Christ in Nazi Germany. And he wrote this book called Life Together that I've been listening to as I've been biking around to work and stuff. And so just listen to this. There's probably no Christian to whom God has not given the uplifting and blissful experience of genuine Christian community at least once in his life. See, most of us have experienced it. We've tasted the goodness of the people of God, right? And we're just longing to experience it again. And we keep hoping that the next church, the next relationship, the next small group will give that back to us. But in this world, such experiences remain nothing but a gracious extra beyond the daily bread of Christian community life. We have no claim to such experiences. And we do not live with other Christians for the sake of gaining such experiences. It is not the experience of Christian community, but firm and certain faith within Christian community that holds us together. We hold fast in faith to God's greatest gift, that God has acted for us all and wants to act for us all. This makes us joyful and happy, but it also makes us ready to forgo all such experiences if at times God does not grant them. We are bound together by faith, not by experience. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. This is the Scripture's praise of life together under the Word. But now we can correctly interpret the words in unity and say, when kindred live together through Christ. For Jesus Christ alone is our unity. He is our peace. We have access to one another, joy in one another, community with one another through Christ alone. So I want to call us deeper into community. I want us to be a church that lives out the one another's. And we do this as we focus on the solution to the problem of us. As we look to Jesus. As we see one who is faithful to not hold back, even though over and over again his experience of community with people has been pretty poor. He left glory and he came down and he entered in as a sacrificial servant. He came and John 13 tells the story of the Last Supper, right? As Jesus takes off his clothing and wraps a towel around himself and gets down and starts to wash the disciples' feet. And he actually says, Simon's like, Lord, do you wash my feet? No, and Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And he goes to the cross. He says, you haven't even begun to understand the level of love that I have for you. But then he exhorts his disciples and he says, do likewise. Are you greater than your master? Like, let me be enough for you. Let my joy be sufficient for you. Let my love for you be sufficient. Let all the ways that I live out the one another's towards you be enough to fill your cup and to give you the grace and mercy to now extend beyond yourself towards someone else. Can we let that? Can we let Jesus' love for us now motivate us and drive us to again press in? To go deeper, to love our brother, our sister next to us? To love Benson? To love the haters? To love those who are hostile? To love our city that is so hurting and broken that we could maybe see redemption come here? Amen? Let's be that church. And here's the thing, Jesus goes on in John, if you just read that section, read chapters 13 through 15 this week. It talks about abiding in Christ, but there's this promise in there. He says, I'm going to send a helper. See, that's the solution, is we can actually do this now. We can actually be a people that loves beyond ourselves because we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us. Let us be those people. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, I thank you that you so loved us. That you considered it a joy to leave glory, to come down and to become a suffering servant. That you decided to push back darkness at the cross and to bring good news and grace to us. God, would we be these kind of people? Would we be a people that loves and serves you? In Jesus' name, amen.